What is the unique nature of Shechem? We're going to follow that with what I think is a very related question, and that is, what is the special nature of Yosef HaTzadik, and why is he connected to Shechem? Why do the two go together? Whether you realize it or not, Yosef HaTzadik is buried in downtown modern Shechem. It's a very big privilege, actually, for me to give the shiur, because I feel very connected to the Yosef HaTzadik in many ways. One way is that Yoshua was from Shevet Ephraim, and I always felt a little bit of a connection to Yeshua Binun, and Ephraim, of course, is from Yosef. My son, who I have high hopes for, was born on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. All of Tammuz is the Yortzeit, the Hilula of Yosef HaTzadik, so that's why we called him Yosef. So I'm hoping he has a big chunk of the spark of the neshama of Yosef HaTzadik. In addition, there's a whole Gemara in Sanhedrin that compares Palti Ben Laish and Yosef HaTzadik. So I got it from both ends, Bezrat Hashem. And probably even most significant, at least for me, is that I had the great privilege to spend a week near the end of my tour of duty in Shiryon. We had to do guard duty in the Shtachim, they used to call it. And I was fortunate enough to do guard duty at the former yeshiva that used to be at Kever Yosef. It was called Od Yosef Chai, a beautiful, tiny, cute little yeshiva. They couldn't have been there without some kind of protection, so the army had five or six-man base at the yeshiva. So when I wasn't actually guarding the guys, or washing the dishes and doing some of my other duties, I was learning in yeshiva. So Yosef HaTzadik and Shechem, it's a very big deal. So I want to propose to you gentlemen that you've heard of the four holy cities, right? So that's fantastic. I don't know where that came from. We all know about Yerushalayim. And we all know about Hebron. I mean, that's straight in the Chumash again and again. So the reality is there's really three holy cities. And the third one is Shechem. I'm going to prove it to you right here, right now, from the Psukim. I don't know if I have enough. I hope I have enough. You're right here. You take it fast. Let's just start off. Remember, the question that we're going to first try and answer is, what is special about Shechem? What is special about Shechem? I think most of you would say, what do you mean? Wait. Shouldn't the question be, what's wrong with Shechem? Shechem's like Calamity Central, right? As soon as I say Shechem, what do you think of? Dina, right?
And Arabs.
Right, Arabs and Dina. What? I mean, they weren't Arabian at the time, but what?
Good.
The kingdom was split there during the time of Rehoboam, who was the son of Shlomo Melech and Yerboam. And there's another thing that happened there. It has to do with Yosef and his brothers. We're going to see that momentarily. So, wait a minute. Shechem, what's Shechem's the holy city? Shechem's so significant. What's so special about Shechem? What's so terrible about Shechem? So the fact is, you know the terrible stuff. What I want to do is I want to point out to the good stuff, and then I want to come to a kind of like... the thesis and antithesis. I want to get the synthesis of the negative, so to speak, and the positive to show you what's really going on with Shechem, Bezrat Hashem, at least on a little surface. Let's look at the first section there, number one. V'yom Hashem el Avraham lech lecha. Guess what parsha this is from? This is where it all started. Jewish history right here. This is the beginning. Avram gets his command. And it's not just go to Eretz Yisrael, it's go to Eretz Yisrael with a purpose. You're going to be for a bracha. I'll bless you, and you shall be for a bracha. What does it mean you shall be for a bracha? According to Rav Tversky, by the way, it's a beautiful development throughout all of his commentaries, specifically in Chumash. Rav Adam Tversky used to teach at Fresh for many years, now he teaches... he lives in Israel. He makes the point that the whole significance of Avraham Avinu and this blessing right here, which gets passed on to Yisrael, gets passed on to Yaakov, is that Avraham Avinu had nothing less than the potential to undo the klala, and that's why everything about him is bracha. Which klala is the klala from which we still serve this day?
Adam Rishon.
And Hashem waited. Noah almost made it, didn't quite make it. Finally, Avram came on the scene, and it is through Avram and his descendants that the curse that Adam brought into the world can be undone. That's why you always see this term of bracha, bracha, bracha with regard to Avram, that he passed on to Yitzhak and Yaakov. So you see something very major is going on here. It's not just Mu'ek Aliyah. It's change history, change the face of the planet, change civilization, bring perfection, bring us back to God and Eden. Everything's at stake. what happens? Just to get to the point already, I truncated it. Never heard of Hebron, never heard of Yerushalayim, Moriah, never heard of no nothing, Beit El, all the significant places, we never heard of any of them. The first thing we hear of is Shem. Why was that the first stop that Avram made on his journey? Did he make it up? Maybe. I think Hashem told him where to go. It's obviously not the first place as he crossed the border. It's directly north of Har Moriah of Yerushalayim in the Sumerian mountains. There's a mountain range. And it's right there in the ridge. And it's not the first place you hit when you cross the border coming from Ur Kasdim. So clearly it's the first place he stopped and he pitched tent. Right? Why'd he go there? I guess because Hashem wanted him to be there. What happens when he gets there? Pasuk Zayin, V'yira Hashem al Avraham. There's an appearance of Hashem to Avram. These things only happen a handful of times, even to Avram, believe it or not. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, only a handful of times that God actually appears and tells them something. And what do they usually do when that happens? Good. It's significant. It's basically, as the Rav Chaim writes, it's a life-altering experience. You're never the same. Once Hashem spoke to you, once you have a nevuah, you're never the same. You're on a totally different level. And it is significant not only for his personal change, but for what it means for all future generations that are going to come for him. And of course, 100%. That's what he does because he doesn't want to forget this life-altering experience. Where did it happen? It happened in Shechem. Notice it all started in Shechem. The question is why. Look at Yaakov. Similar issue. Similar approach. V'yavo Yaakov shalem yishchem. Where are we, by the way? We're well into Bereishit, right? Near that. Where are we? No? V'yishlach. Good. We're about Chamishit. V'yishlach. V'yavo Yaakov shalem yishchem. Sheber it's Canaan. He's coming back from where, guys? Yaakov just finished off with Lavan, and he met up with Esav, the great encounter with Esav, and the Saroshel Esav. Finished with that whole period in his life, and he's moving back to Eretz Yisrael, right? He's now coming back to do what? He's coming back to now claim the throne or the torch of Yitzchak. In other words, to be the next link in the chain. In other words, he's going to pick up the bracha that Avram passed to Yitzchak. Yitzchak to pass to Yaakov. Yaakov is now going to do his part to bring the world back to God in perfection. So he's got to get back to Eretz Yisrael to do it, right? Where does he have to go first? He goes to Shechem. Yitzev et Shem Yizbeach, V'ikra lo Elokei Yisrael. He also gets an appearance. Okay. In the next little thing there, Bereishit Perek Lamed Daled. So I just brought you the end tale of the story with Dina. We'll get back to it. You know about it. So I didn't want to go too depth through it. We're staying on the positive right for now. Look what happens in Perek Lamed. V'yomer Elokim Yaakov Kuma Le Beit El. Hashem says, okay, he's in Shechem. He says, go to Beit El. That's where you had that whole dream with the ladder on the way out, right? And I've made promises to you. I fulfilled my promise. I want you to go back to Beit El. Fine. Look what Yaakov says to his family. Pasuk Bet. And we're number two. Halfway through it says Pasuk Bet. V'yomer Yaakov El Beit El V'al Kol Asher Imo. I want you to remove the foreign gods that are amongst you that maybe you took from Lavan's house. Get ready, prepare yourself. We're going to go back to Beit El. We're going to make an altar there. Pasuk Dalet, we do El Yaakov, El Kol, El Hanichar. They cleared house. They purify themselves, literally, like they change your clothes. This implies they went to the mikvah. And they got rid of the idols. They literally did tshuva. They cleared house, starting afresh. We're back in Eretz Yisrael. We got to come clean. We got to get rid of all the influences from Chutz Laaretz. And we got to get started again. And they buried it where? Tachat Ha'ila Asher Im Shechem. Under an oak tree outside of the town of Shechem. Now, if you look, if you jump ahead to the second page, the second side, look at this echo. Look at this echo. Staying on the positive. Of how significant Shechem is, Yehoshua, knowing Jewish history very well, look what happens. V'yasof Yehoshua, it's number eight, sorry. Number eight. Second side, number eight. V'yasof Yehoshua kol shivnei Yisrael Shechema. He needs, this is, where in the book of Yehoshua is this? This story. Yeah, which is the last chapter. This is it. This is the end. This is the goodbye speech. Right? This is the farewell speech. What does he do when he wants to say goodbye and end his lineage, his history with the Jewish people? He takes him to Shechem. Okay, must be important. Why? Vikralas Zikne Israel, Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to skip a little bit. Pasuk Bet. V'yom Yeshua kol ha'am, koma Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Bever Nahar, Yashvu Avotechem Me'olam, Terach Avi Avraham, sounds from the Agada, V'atu Ru et Hashem V'ivdu, Oto B'tamim U'be'emet. Now he gives a Musar. Skipping ahead. You Dalit. Yeah, one second. And now, I want you to fear the Lord, I want you to serve him B'tamim. Sounds like Avram, right? When Hashem said to Avram, Tamim Tiyeh. U'be'emet. V'hasiru et Elohim. Remove the false gods, the idols. Asher avdu avotechem be'ever hanahar u'mizraim v'yudu et Hashem. You might still have, believe it or not, can you believe it, after 40 years? And after not just 40 years, and after another 14 years of kibush and nechelukah. So all these years, some Jews were still holding on to idols. It's hard to give up to those idols, right? So they still had idols, right? And he turns to the Jewish people and says, gentlemen, this is it. I'm leaving now. You got to come clean. And just like Yaakov had to come clean in Shechem, and he cleaned house before he established his role as the next chain. If you guys want to carry on the chain, you want to be the descendants of Yaakov, you got to clean house, and we got to do it right here at Shechem. You got to get rid of all the junk and all the Avodah Zarah, and that's where they begin their destiny. I mean, say for Shoaf team, it doesn't look like they did so well, but ups and downs. I think Yaakov was a little more successful cleaning house than Yeshua. Yeshua had a lot more people to deal with, right? All right, anyways, at this point, it's pretty clear that this place is significant in the utmost. The question is why? If it's a place that we normally assume with calamity, with sad stories, why does Avram come there first? Why does Yaakov come there first? And why does Yeshua echo that and make sure to give his goodbye, farewell, Musar speech specifically in Shechem? Do you want to ask a question? By the way, I might not answer your question, because I have very limited time, and I want to get moving. So ask your question. If it's really relevant, I'll give you an answer. If not, I'll answer it at the end.
Why is Shechem here?
No, Shechem means like Ephrata, toward Shechem, Mitzrayma, toward Shechem. He gathered the Shvatim toward Shechem. Shechem words. Ephrata, Mitzrayma. Yeah, that's it in Hebrew. Okay. All right. One more positive thing, and then we're gonna turn around a little bit, and start to answer the issue. Take a look. I think I skipped it on the first page. One second. A number four. Yeah. Okay. V'yomer Yisrael Yosef. On the first page, number four. V'yomer Yisrael Yosef. Yisrael Yaakov. Right. He's in his deathbed. Hine anochi meit. I'm about to die. V'aya Elokim imachem. The God will be with you. God's going to get you out of Egypt. He's going to take you home. I'm going to give you, Yosef, one Shechem above and behind your brothers. I took it from the Amorites with my sword and my bow. What does that mean? I'm going to give you one Shechem above and beyond. So take a look. Rashi says, Shechem echad al chicha, Shechem mamash. The city. Hi tiyeh lecha chelek echad yeter al chicha. You're going to get one portion more than all the other siblings and all the other brothers. What's that called? Which is a specific type of favoritism. It's a luckily mandated where the first son, right, gets how much? Pishtan. If you have 10 sons, right, you got 10 acres. You give 2 acres to the first son, and the other 9 sons have to split the 8 acres. That's how it goes. Pishtan, it's before. Right, all the Gemaras are about that are in Bava Batra, and Hashem, and we know that Yosef was not the Bechor. Well, now he was, wasn't he? Now he's made into the Bechor. Yaakov says, "I'm about to die. I want you to know you're really the Bechor, and therefore you're Ephraim and you're Menashe. I've just been elevated to 2 of my sons. I'm going to give you 2 portions. They'll each get 1." And you're the Bechor. And if you take a look, Shechem is right in Ephraim, right in Menashe, a few clicks above Ephraim. You got it? Right. So there you go. Now, look at the next Rashi basically just says that straight out. He says that the word Shechem actually means Bechor, Bechoru, which isn't so crazy, because who was the actual person Shechem? Who was the guy, Shechem? Chamor's son, who raped Dina, right? He was the firstborn. He named the whole city after his son. He loved his son. It was his firstborn son. He loved this guy. Right? Do anything for his son. His son's name is Shechem. So it's not crazy if his son's name was firstborn. Hi, what are we going to name him? Let's just call him firstborn. Right? That's what they call him. So that means that Yosef, who's this quasi-father, sort of the fourth of the Avot, so to speak, now is intimately associated with, because of Yaakov, with Shechem. Now there's Ruach HaKodesh going on, because at this point, was that all that map divided up yet? Did anyone know? Did any Shevet know who was going to get what? No. Nobody knew. That was a Chalukah that was done later in the time of Yoshua. They didn't know. It was all done by Lot, by Goral. And it was all Ruach HaKodesh. No one knew exactly who was going to get what. And yet he said, don't worry, you're going to get Shechem, meaning your descendants, Ephraim and Asher, are going to get Shechem. It's going to be in there, and he's right. So it was all Pi Ruach HaKodesh. He was giving him the Bechorut, very significant, giving him the link of the chain. Here's the torch. You're the next torchbearer, Yosef, and you are going to be intimately connected to Shechem. So the question at this point is, what's so great about Shechem, and why is Yosef so intimately connected? That's why he's buried there, brother. Why is he connected to it? Okay, that's the question. Let's look at the stuff that's a little bit negative that we already know, and that's in the Chazal on the second side. Take a look. Take a look at number 5. Number 5 is... It doesn't have the negative stuff, but you'll see why I bring this in. Okay, v'ikenet chalkat ha-sadeh asher nata shamo alo v'meh ksita. So he acquired the place in the field in which he had pitched his tent. He got it for 100 ksita. This is Yaakov, right? He bought the land. Amar Rav Yudan bar Simon, zechad mishloshet makamot she'ein umot ha'olam yicholim lo'onot Yisrael lomar gzulim hein biyadchem. This is, according to Rav Yudan bar Simon, this is one of the three places in Israel that the nations... We'll never be able to say you're a bunch of ganavim and you stole the land from the Palestinians or from the goyim. I wish they would learn this Gemara apparently, because they even claim that we stole these three. But there's three that they tell us we stole. At least these three, we don't have to doubt ourselves, and we know we bought it fair and square before when Arabia was off in the middle of Arabia, and Mohammed was just a bad dream of some prophet somewhere. And none of this stuff existed. There's three places we had cash. We put it down. We have the deed. We bought it fair and square. Merata Machpelah, Beit Hamikdash, the Kfurato Shel Yosef. Yeah, I got the point the first time. Merata Machpelah, the thief. I agree. I smile at you. Vishma Avraham El Efron. Vishkol Avraham El Efron. So we know that Avraham bought Hebron. Beit Hamikdash, the thief. Who bought Beit Hamikdash? David Melech from the Jebusite Arnon. V'ten David Arnon b'makom. He bought, there was a mill, not a mill house, the threshing floor, whatever. He bought it from Arnon. It's paid fair and square. Ukvurtel Sher Yosef, the burial place of Yosef, which is Shechem. Yikyan et chalkat asadeh Yaakov kana Shechem. Which, by the way, implies that when Yaakov bought Shechem, why did he buy? He didn't buy. We don't see that he bought other places. He pitched his tent. It's clear that he viewed it as, like Avram went ahead and bought Hebron, and that was like a certain important acquisition to move the dream forward of the Jews in Eretz Israel, bringing Utopia. And just like in the future, when the Jewish people were ready, David HaMelech would purchase the place of Har HaBayit. So Yaakov already realized, I need to bury Yosef here. It's got to be here. Why? Why Shechem? Why Yosef? So I think the answer is in the following source. Take a look. Look in number 6. This time we'll go in order. Good morning, Sanhedrin. Says the Mulachim. Sam, this is what you made reference to before. V'yelech Rechavam Shechem, ki Shechem ba ko Yisrael lahamlich oto. And Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, the ill-fated son of King Solomon, arrived at Shechem because it was in Shechem that all of Israel came to coronate him. Tana Mishum Rabbi Yosef. We have a brighta passed down in the name of Yosef. Makom mizuman lepur anut. Here's the bad stuff. What's pur anut?
Bad stuff.
The bad stuff. Calamity. Retribution. Right? Bishchem inu et Dina. First and foremost, most famous maybe is Dina's incident with Dina. Bishchem machru achiv et Yosef. Now, technically he was sold in Now he went to Dothan. In Dothan.
That's where he found the guy, though, and that's when he was redirected.
Right, right. But we're going to see that really the whole story of Yosef and his brothers, the actual sale was not there, the pit wasn't there. But it might as well have been there, because the whole story really kicked off from Shechem. We're going to see in a second. I'm going to bring it. Did I bring it? Yeah, I think I brought it. Yeah, that's where Yaakov sent Yosef to go find his brothers, was in Shechem. And the third one is B'Shechem Nechalka Malchut Beit David. Oh, back number three on the first page. Thank you. See, I did bring it. Oh, good. Right. So number three is the source where Yosef is sent by his father in honor of his father. He goes to find his brothers, and then we know the rest of the story, and we've been paying for that one ever since. Okay, what's the story about the kingdom of David being divided in Shechem? What happened? Anyone know?
Rambam and Yerucham.
Nope,
that's a lot.
The what? Well, he brought a lot of animals to sacrifice to reinforce his coronation. You're a bone?
Oh, I know a guy didn't.
That was in Israel. He put the bulls with him to worship every year. Oh, no, yeah, that was in Dan. Yeah. But it's the same guy, you're a bone, the same guy, exactly. Fine.
No,
basically what happened is Rechavam taxed people too heavily. The senior advisor told him not to. The young whippersnapper advisor told him, yeah, tax him worse than your father did. He said, I'm going to show these people who's boss. I'm the new king. And that was Yeroboam's opportunity to get people to follow him. And that was the split between Malchut Yisrael in the north, the 10 tribes, and Melech Yehuda, Beit David, Rechavam. That was basically disunity. Now I'm running out of time, so I got to get to the point here. And I think the point is as follows. Look at number 7, last source, and then I'll wrap it up. We have the good, we have the bad, 3 bad things, a lot of good things. What's going on? Number 7. Arav Pinchas b'Shechem nifratzaha erva. You know what happened in Shechem? There's a certain level of arayos that was broken through, that was like a certain amount of licentiousness that happened. V'gedarta ota l'ficha chateh b'chalkecha. You, Yosef, you were careful about arayos. You were careful about your sexuality, and therefore it's going to be in your portion. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to give you Shechem, that's the firstborn. What's going on here? It's as follows. Shechem is about 2 things. And Yosef had them both. Shechem is about the unity of the Jewish people. The unity of the Jewish people. And the unity of the Jewish people was lost between Yosef and his brothers. Who got that unity back before it was lost again later in the time of Rechavam and Yeroboam? Yosef got it back. Yosef was mevater on everything, gave up his honor, and for the honor of his father, for his love of his brothers, he arranged the whole end of Sefer Bereishit so that they could get back together, they could do tshuva, and he didn't hurt them, and he loved them from the beginning to the end, and he created the unity that Sefer Bereishit ends with. Yosef Atzadik is the image of unity. Yaakov knew it, and therefore Yaakov said, you're the leader, you're the next, you're the true Bechor, and you're the one who's going to create unity of Jewish people. And we know that without unity, you can't get Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to read it right now, but that's the last 2 sources. I'm sorry, that's basically source number 9, that the whole thing that Ramos has been telling you about the brit of arevut, of responsibility between one Jew and another, it's set up in Har Guzim. And Harival means that from now on we're in this together. And if somebody sins, we're all going to get punished, we're going to lose Eretz Yisrael unless we work together, and we're all responsible. Right? So that whole arevut, that whole responsibility, that is the paradigm of that was Yosef Atzadik. And where was that lost initially? In Shechem. Where does it have to be healed? In Shechem. Where did Rechavam and Yeroboam blow it and not do it? In Shechem. In the future, where are we going to get another chance to retain that unity? It's in Shechem. And I'm sorry, I'm going over time here, about 20 seconds. The other thing that makes Shechem important is the idea of arayos, sexual misconduct. And who is the paradigm in the Torah, of sexual chastity and holiness? Yosef HaTzadik, right? Who fought the urge where they should potifar. He is the image of Kedushat HaBrit. And it says in the last 2 sources here that if you don't keep the careful about the arayos, then V'taki ha'aretz et yoshbeah. The land will vomit you out. You want to be in Eretz Yisrael? You have to be holy with regard to sexuality. So where was that lost? In Shechem. That was the whole thing with Dina. Who is the man who can show us how to get it back? Yosef HaTzadik. So that's why Yosef HaTzadik is married to Shechem. He is the paradigm of Jewish unity. He's the paradigm of Jewish sexual morality. And therefore we have to go back to Shechem, both physically but mainly spiritually, and learn the lesson of Yosef HaTzadik, and we'll be able to keep Eretz Yisrael. Gentlemen, thank you. Sorry I was rushed. And have a great day.
I stuck this.